I know we often talk about big pyramid, but can we talk about big wireless for a second? If after years of overpaying for wireless, you're finally fed up from those wildly high wireless bills, bogus fees, and quote-unquote free perks that actually cost more in the long run, why not switch to Mint Mobile and keep your money where you can see it? Mint Mobile is here to rescue you from big wireless with premium wireless plans starting at $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can even use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number, along with all of your contacts. It's a snap to switch. So ditch overpriced wireless and get 3 months of premium wireless service from Mint Mobile for $15 a month. If you like your money, Mint Mobile is for you. Shop plans at mintmobile.com/aftermlm. That's mintmobile.com/aftermlm. Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month 5 GB plan required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customer offer for first 3 months only, then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details. It's February, which means Valentine's Day and my birthday are right around the corner. It might be the shortest month, but it's the best month. And if you're anything like me, you want the look and feel of luxury without the price tag. And y'all know, Quince is my one-stop shop for luxury essentials at affordable prices. Be still, my little Pisces heart. Quince offers a range of high-quality items at prices that are totally within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters from $50, a favorite of me and Mr. F for sure, washable silk tops and dresses, organic cotton sweaters, and 14-karat gold jewelry. And then my newest obsession, their stylish packing cubes that make prepping for a weekend getaway a breeze. And the best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with safe, ethical, and responsible factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us, meaning that you can look and feel like $1 million without breaking the bank, something that definitely doesn't happen in MLM. Give yourself the luxury that you deserve with Quince. Go to quince.com/MLM for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/MLM to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/MLM. Hey, I'm Roberta Blevins, and this is Life After MLM, a podcast where we work to end the stigma of failure in an industry systemically designed for you to fail. Join us as we dive into the real-life stories of survivors, experts, and advocates, as we debunk the common myths and fallacies of cults, frauds, scams, and multi-level marketing. Hey, Hunbots and Hunbros, we have another Amway episode for you today. It is really funny, and we're going to learn a couple lessons about what happens when you mix business with pleasure in an MLM. It is a great episode, and I want to thank Matt again for being so vulnerable and candid and open about his experiences, and Tracy for being just so great. You guys are going to meet them in a second, and you're going to just adore them just as much as I did. Couple quick things to get to before the episode. I want to let you know we have our second MLM already that is going down, and that is Color Street. They are dropping their MLM model, and so of course reps took to social media to tell us how they felt. This is a post that was sent to me. It says, "I'm not usually at a loss for words, but today I am. But I'm going to try to say some. I woke up this morning thinking the news we had received last night from Color Street was a bad dream. The entire structure of the company and compensation plan is changing, and for some of us who have built teams and helped build the company from the ground up, these changes are devastating. As I came more and more awake and aware that it indeed wasn't a dream, the sadness and anxiety has set in. It has been an amazing 7.5 years with an amazing team, selling almost $47 million together, and that is something to be truly proud of. Team Hustle and Flow, you have my heart. I am so grateful for the relationships created and the laughter, tears, and love shared, especially with my beautiful team and the whole Color Street community. I've never experienced anything like it before and probably never will again. It's the end of an era, as they say, a new chapter, if you will, and we will be okay. What that looks like, I have no idea. Time will tell. To everyone that is affected by this, I'm so sorry. We all need time to process and feel all the feels about it, and that's okay. I want to thank everyone who has supported me and held my hand through this journey. You are the true MVPs. I will still be selling Color Street as long as that makes sense to me, so hit me up if needed, but I will be very much stepping back and reflecting on my life and where it goes from here. Times, they are a changin'. And on a post on Reddit about Color Street, to say my heart is broken is an understatement. The first thing I did this morning is open my eyes and cry and pray. I wanted to let you, my incredible team and community, know that I love you. I'm so grateful to you, and I'm so sorry to all of you that are affected. You've been the absolute best part of this journey, and I can't thank you enough. How lucky am I to have been able to do what I love with you for over 7 years. A true leader leads when times are crunchy, and my friends, I'll always be in your corner. Don't worry about me. I'll rise from the ashes and soar. You can count on it. So one of our listeners sent me a ton of stuff about Color Street, the new compensation plan, and some new rules, and an FAQ that I'm going to be going through on Patreon. So if that's something that you're interested in, you can go ahead and hit up the Patreon, catch the replay. Our memberships start at $3 a month. We've got a free trial, and all of the proceeds that we gather there goes right back into the show. So I will be going through all of this on the live stream on Patreon because there is a ton and it's going to take me a while to get through all of it. But one of the questions here on one of the FAQs is, what is changing about the compensation plan? And it says that the new plan simplifies the business structure by focusing on personal sales and enrollments. You will now earn commissions and bonuses based on your personal volume at level one. So again, it's that sort of pancake model or this enhanced affiliate model. One of the questions is, what will happen to my downline? Again, people mentioned that their teams were going away. And in a pancake model, you don't have a team anymore. It says your level one stylists, from whom you are the sponsor under the former plan, will remain as your level one. They will be reclassified as your personally sponsored stylists under the new plan, and you will continue to earn commissions on their sales according to the new compensation plan. Anyone considered level two or lower will no longer be part of your downline and will solely be part of their sponsor's level one. So yeah, this sounds like exactly enhanced affiliate. It's what we saw a lot of last year. A lot of the reps very upset because obviously when you focus on recruiting and building a team and it gets ripped out from underneath you, that can be quite the blow, especially if you don't understand how multi-level marketing works. So again, we send our... This is a hard place for me to be. It's kind of a double-edged sword because on one hand, I have empathy for the stylists and the victims of Color Street because we see this happen so often. But like on the other hand, this is what our work produces. These are the consequences of the actions of anti-MLM community and legislation and all of your reports and everything that's been happening. This is the way that this is moving. You know, we're making so much noise that MLM companies themselves are changing their business structure to get out of the MLM because they know that people know that it's toxic. If you were in Color Street before or during this change and would like to come on the show and talk about this, we would love to have you. Hit us up and let's make an episode together. I also want to say thank you to everybody that reached out on that Instagram call to action about health and wellness experiences. I got a lot of responses. If you responded to that story, make sure you check your inboxes. I'm still sending out links, but if you would like to record, please book a time that works for you. And I cannot wait to meet you and hear your story. And then lastly, last night I got to have tacos with Megan Williams. You guys know Megan Williams if you're in the Facebook group or if you've heard every single episode of this show. She's a friend of the show, an amazing friend of mine. She also wrote the Cutting Ties Healing from MLM workbook. And she's also working on the Flipping the Pyramid support group with Brandy Hadfield as well. There's lots of stuff happening on the social media side of this show. So if you're looking for community, please head to the Facebook group or follow on Instagram, reach out. I know a lot of times when you leave MLM, you lose that community. So we are trying to create a bit of one over here that isn't so demanding of everybody's time and energy. But those tacos, we went to Crack Taco, which I'd never been to. Amazing. They were so good. And it was wonderful to meet Megan's mom as well and see Megan again. So thanks for tacos last night and enjoy this episode, and we'll see you next week. Welcome back to another episode of Life After MLM. We've got another Amway episode. I love these. But this one is with another couple, and we're going to talk about all kinds of stuff. I'm really excited for this. So I would like to welcome to the show Matt and Tracy Fashingbauer. How are you guys doing?
Good. We want to make sure to be honest in the answer. So like we said before we're getting on this, that it's a lot of reflection. So it's a mixed bag of emotions.
Yeah. How are you feeling about the whole, like, having to tell the story again? It's been like 12 years since you were in Amway. So it's kind of interesting having to think back on all these things, take notes, remember names, remember dates and times and places. How are you guys feeling after preparing for this chat?
Thankful that it's over.
Yeah. 12 years later, my message is still the same, that it's better on this side, honestly.
Yeah. Let's get into this. My first thing is, you joined Amway in 2002, and you sort of like skipped over this when we were chatting. You were 16 years old when this happened, when you joined Amway. So I'm really interested how a 16-year-old discovers and decides that Amway is the path forward.
The origin story is, I was at a point in my life, very young, and wildly impressionable. There were two things that made me impressionable, and one of them was I was very identified in sports, and I had recently had an athletic injury that jeopardized, I thought, my future of sports, and a lot of my friends were being scouted out for sponsorships, amateur, and some even went professional. I knew where I stood amongst my friends, and so I felt very slighted in life, thinking that it was unfair that they get to and I don't, when in my mind I'm better than them. Probably sounds arrogant, but yeah, that's a big part of what my identity was wrapped up in. And then second, in the same time frame, I'd found out by accident that I was adopted. And so everybody in my family and extended family knew it but me. And so there was always just this big secret around that. And so I had really disconnected from my family at that time, and I unknowingly was searching for like a father figure and just a whole family. And so, you know, I was very, very, very primed to be influenced. And I wasn't even directly approached. A friend of mine who was actually the same age, 16, he was approached and he came to me and he said, "Dude, these guys, I know they're trying to screw me, but I think that this could be a good thing and we can screw them back." And, you know, he was my best friend. And so I was going to basically do anything that he would do. I'm like, well, okay, I guess sounds good to me. If we're going to screw some jerks, you know. Well, I'm really making myself look bad right off the bat, aren't I? But whatever. So I guess that's how I initially got involved at 16. My parents told me don't join, so obviously that was all the more incentive to join. And then they said you won't make it, and so I was very rebellious at that point because of the contention that I had about what I just shared. And so that was all I needed. And so I was determined to, you know, make it or die trying. Those are some of the big things. And the sacrifices that I had made on, I didn't meet Tracy until 7 years into my Amway career. I didn't meet her until I was 23, as part of my downline, far down in the organization. But the sacrifices that I'd made early on was, again, I was in 11th grade. I had all but dropped out. I had got to take ALC classes, alternative classes that you could take from home, so that way I could focus on my Amway career. And then, because again, it was a very rebellious child. And I had actually joined, I had done, I forget what the name of the program was called, but I joined the military and was actually encouraged by this father-like figure to get out of it. And so I was able to get out of it through a medical pass. My senior prom, my girlfriend at the time had bought her prom dress, everything, but it landed on a function date.
Oh no.
So guess who went to function and guess who got dumped?
Oh my God, Matt! Your story already is so juicy. Like, we're only a few minutes into recording. I didn't know any of this. Like, I was like, we'll just tell the story when we hit record.
I'm so speechless. You get an injury, so sports are out. The future of your sports career is kind of like up in the air. You find out you're adopted. You rebel by joining Amway, which is like the funniest way to rebel of any kind of rebellious teen, right? Some drugs, alcohol, sex, rock and roll. You're like Amway. You join. And you were convinced to even leave your military goals behind as well for Amway. So this is just wild. And it also, like, you know, it makes me think about parents who make decisions that they think are in the best interest of their child, like leaving them in the dark about an adoption or something big like that. And then the repercussions at 16 of you accidentally finding out and then deciding, well, I'm mad at you anyway, so I'm just going to do what I want to do and rebel. Like, it changed the entire trajectory of your life.
Well, let me say this as well, too. And I will actually stick up for my parents. This is now I'm, you know, over 20 years beyond that. Parenting doesn't come with a guidebook. You know that. And so now being a father of four with Tracy, that I can actually put myself in their shoes and I can see how they made the decisions that they did and one foot in front of the other, where, again, it just turns into this game. And yeah, so I mean, I'll stick up for them now where I didn't then. And they definitely deserve some grace after what I put them through for 11 years of Amway.
Yes. Wow. It's just, it's very interesting just how every single domino had to be set up that way to fall in that way to be here today to be telling the story. So it's just, I always like to ask, like, how you got here. It's just so interesting. So you said Tracy didn't come along, and we'll come and sort of zigzag back and forth and tell the story in a much more linear way once we introduce Tracy. But Tracy, Matt says 7 years later, you enter the picture. So how do we get you into this story? Like, tell us your origin story.
As he was talking, I was actually thinking, wow, we were the primed couple. He was the rebellious child and I was the bubble girl. So my parents shielded me from everything. So I'm sure that made me extra impressionable.
Yeah.
But I had just gotten out of my only serious relationship at the time that I had had. It wasn't healthy. I had to work with this guy when I was back from college. He was like kind of a superior at this point. And it was just this horrible scenario. And I hated going to work. I didn't have any friends. And here comes this cute guy, not Matt, invites me to church a couple times, then says, hey, got these people I think you might want to meet. And invites me to a meeting where I'm like, oh, look at all these people my age. This is pretty cool. And they're all so much energy. And that was really attractive to me because I didn't have friends around. I had been going to school in Wisconsin. There was a lot of boys around, you know, and like, I'm 20 years old at the time. I'm like, all right, okay. So I ended up getting signed up. Honestly, if I hadn't met Matt, I wouldn't have lasted very long. But I had gotten invited to a team call, which what that was is where we would all gather our A, B, and C lists. We would bring our lists and we would make these calls to try to recruit people into a meeting, really, where they would then get sold on the plan. And then they would get into business, you know, hopefully was the goal. So I met him and he was probably the only interesting person there because he was the only person that was like, get away from me. I don't want to have anything to do with you. I'm focused on my goals. He was kind of on the outs with a girlfriend who was still in the business.
I almost feel like we have scratched and start over. I'm just like, I feel like I'm in such a bad light this whole time.
So no.
No, not at all. You're not. We make bad decisions in MLM. This is par for the course, Matt.
No, well,
your life is a series of bad decisions.
Well, it is. No, and I remember I am like, oh, that guy's hot. And so then I started to bother him because he wanted to have nothing to do with me. And I wasn't going to have that. And then we eventually started talking and ended up dating in secret because in MLM, at least in LTD and Amway, you're not allowed to date outside the business. You're not allowed to date inside the business, let alone can't even talk to your cross line, you know, unless your upline is present. And I remember thinking, this is really weird, but I had no words like cult-like to describe that at the time. I just remember thinking, this is just a car ride. Why are you freaking out giving me a ride home? Because I need a ride home.
Because I was going to be ostracized.
Well, and then, so I'm like just having fun. I'm like, I don't know if this is for me, but I'm having fun. And then I meet this guy and I'm like, oh, this guy's going places. He's smart. He's everything that I wanted in a guy. And so he probably got more of the flack than I did because he had been in longer. But yeah, I started getting more and more serious about the business because I was more and more serious about him. And I had, before I got into the business, I had already purchased a semester abroad over in Spain. And so I was not going to skip that. I didn't care who was waiting for me back home, what business was what. I was not going to be skipping that. That was required for me to graduate with my degree. No way. I was just going to do the business up until I had to leave. And he even threatened to break up with me because he wanted me to stay so badly because he was getting so much crap from Upline about just, you know, dating anyone, period, especially, you know, me.
I was seen as a leader, quote, in the organization at that time, and I'd been in it for 8 years and navigated a lot of turbulence already in that time. I mean, and you can't be in an MLM for a week without getting some kind of scathing, and I'd already just given up so much. As you probably know, Roberta, your Upline plays games with you to encourage further engagement and further buy-in. I was so bought in, I was not willing to risk, say, losing my dad. Again, because that relationship was always something that was held over my head. If you respect me, you'll do this. If you really want it, you know, you're going to get in line, boy.
So 8 years in, what rank were you at this point?
It's still low. We didn't begin moving really any levels of, you know, relative significance until probably about year 10, when we began, quote, rebelling from the system. I think, what, 2,500 was probably what I was hanging out at, so...
Yeah, 2,500.
So what would that be in math? About
8 grand?
What, eight grand in, you know, tubes of toothpaste and vitamins and stuff like that. So there's some hustle.
That's a lot of toothpaste. Stupid glister. See, that's what's so great is as I learn about Amway, I can then make inside jokes about Amway to people who get it. And it's funny. Amazing. So you're 8 years in, you start dating your downline, which we've had stories of people dating their downline before.
In secret.
In secret. Yeah, it's always in secret. At what point was it not just dating? At what point did you get engaged and decide to get married?
I get in with a girlfriend. It doesn't work. You know, again, I'm 16. Boyfriends and girlfriends are weeks, if not months, and that's a long time at that point. So that was almost kind of like strike one because, you know, she wasn't for the dream and I'm not fully committed yet, or I'm not completely amboticized at that point. I'm a salesman working outside sales somewhere. There's a girl that recognizes me that I was a year older than her in school and she pursues me. I cave eventually and I say, well, if this is going to work, you got to be a part of my business. You know, she gives her lists, I work them and stuff like that. And amongst other legs, you know, I drove depth into that one and that one continued for years on. I guess it could be foreshadowing, but we were together for 2 or 3 years. We had actually gotten engaged. We had built a team together and that went sideways. A girl in my downline approached me one day and said, I don't know how to say this, but before you get married, you have to have a conversation with your fiance. Something is not right. She approached me a few times. I kept blowing it off. And then I continued dabbling with the sports. One day with her brother, I had tore my ACL, MCL, and meniscus at the same time in one injury. So this was like the second big injury of my life. And I want to say I was 20 or maybe 19 at that time. They drove me back to her house. I called her because she worked nights at a bar. I was just going to surprise her at her house, saying, bye, I love you. She says it too, and I'm on my way home, blah, blah, blah. Well, I fall asleep on her couch, and I wake up the next day, and she never showed. And again, I had that one gal who told me, you got to talk to her. That's what prompted me to talk to her. She had slept with double digits of other people, including people in the organization and stuff like that. And I become a complete mess for the next chapter of my life there. And the whole team kind of goes back to zero people, all but one. But my point in sharing all this is you're not supposed to date within your business. You're not supposed to date outside of the business. You're not supposed to date really unless you're like a platinum and you can find them in your downline. The only pass that I got for this one was she was basically a prospect that I began dating and got in the business because of me type of a deal. So, but again, when that all went sideways, Matt, it was your fault. And then a couple of years after that, threw down this same leg, if you will, there was eventually a gal, I want to say 3 years later, there was a gal that I began dating. We dated for about a year. She broke up with me multiple times. The last time she broke up with me and asked me back out, I just said, I can't do this anymore. Again, through all these, my upline was like, no, because we've set these rules before. So by the time another year or two passed, this girl had still been pursuing me and I was still like, no. And then Tracy comes along and she begins pursuing me. And gosh, I really don't like talking about this story like this.
He was like, I've had a lot of dating trauma. I'm good.
This is almost my entire like dating life as well. This little saga is like 7 years or, 7 or 8 years. I feel like I'm talking like some kind of a pig, but
you're definitely not. You're definitely not. It's very interesting though, because I feel like your uplines were like, we told you so. Like, we told you, you're not just supposed to date whoever. You should be a platinum and you should like pick the right person. But then Tracy walks into your life and she's the kind that's not going to let you say no. She's like, no just means not right now. I learned that at a meeting.
And again, I was very standoffish with her for a long time because I had taken, quote, risks on these relationships that were getting in the way of the relationships with my family. So again, I had already been ostracized once or twice, lost what I had built up once or twice, you know, and so I was just done with any kind of risk to the relationships that I held on to so hard. And again, this was all at the expense of my actual adoptive family. You know, if you really put yourself in their shoes now, I guess I make myself look even worse because, yeah, you know, you're the one that you chose to allow into this world and take and grow up is rejecting you and trying to replace you. And yet they still choose to love and try to support the best they know how and do all these things while I'm just kind of almost rubbing in their face.
I definitely promise people listening right now have even messier love lives when they were young. Don't worry about that. I have messy stories. You have messy stories. We all have messy stories. It's okay. It's totally fine. So Tracy comes into the picture and you guys are doing this business together. She's in one of your legs.
Yes. And not right away. Again, it took a good minute for her to wear me down, I guess.
I could imagine. Just like horrific dating story after horrific dating story. I could imagine that you were like, no, thank you. It's a good backstory. It really informs us of the decisions you make and goes, oh, well, that makes sense because of this. Yeah, you're golden. Don't even worry about that.
I did wear him down. Like, I just really have really been one to be like, I don't think that rule applies to me. And, you know, obviously harder to learn as an adult, but as a kid, I think that's probably how I was. And as a young adult, I probably was a lot like that too. So when someone was like, you're not supposed to talk to him or be alone with him in the, you know.
Not that we got alone. Alone could be like in the hallway outside of the meeting, right outside of the meeting where somebody could open a door and see you.
He'd come to visit me because he was building my team. And then he would bring someone with him and then they were in the bathroom so I could talk to him for a minute or something, you know, so it wasn't like we got real alone time, but. It was just funny. And then I remember right before I went abroad to Spain, I finally got time with my on my upline, Emerald, my big pin.
Who was my direct upline?
Yes, who was his direct upline at the time. But, you know, I didn't really know to the extent of what Matt was going through at the time. He kind of protected me and shielded me from a lot of that. And so I was kind of left in the dark. So I'm like thinking I'm going to talk about my growing business. And she's like, kind of like, you should stay away from Matt. He's a player. And, going to break your heart. And, you know, he's in a relationship with this other gal.
The one that I hadn't been with for 2 years.
Okay. Well, you know, it did give me pause. I remember it giving me pause, but I'm like, I really don't know this person very much, but I'm told I should trust her. So at least I'll ask him about it. And I remember you were just livid when you heard that she was talking to me like that. Do you remember that?
Well, because I asked you to break it down for me, and like every single one of them was just easily disputable. Like the best lies are the ones that have some truth sewed into them. Where I'm like, this is on another planet. No, bop 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 bop. You know, and it was just so easy to just rip apart. So yeah.
But it's like, what's the point of any of this in Amway? Just to sow doubt and to be annoying and to like harm people? Like, there's no point.
I think I can speak to that. Did you guys ever talk about that story that's when a warlord sent his battalion across the seas into another continent to fight and burn the ships behind him? So the moral of the story was as soon as they got off the boats, they were instructed to burn the boats. Total commitment. There's no turning back. You're 100%. It's win or die.
If you have young kids like me, a new year is another chance to do all of the amazing things that you didn't get to do the year before. That epic family trip, an incredible themed party, checking off a bucket list item, or dare I say it, another year closer to getting a phone. With the power of phones today, when it was time to get Abby one, I was pretty nervous about it. I have to be chronically online for my job, and I've seen some of the worst when it comes to content that comes across kids' feeds. Luckily, with Gab, there's a less nerve-wracking way. No social media apps, no internet browser, and GPS tracking. Gab devices were built specifically to keep kids and teens safely connected. They are the leader in safe phones and watches for kids, teens, and tweens, and it's easy to see why. As a parent, the Gab Companion app is a lifesaver. With parental controls, message monitoring, safe zones, and usage logs, you can manage their devices and monitor their location without ever having to bother them. And on Abby's watch, focus mode comes in handy when she's prepping and studying for not only school, but all of her extracurriculars too. Right now, Gab is offering $25 off any device with no contract required. Just go to gab.com/MLM to get started. That's Gab, GABB.com/MLM. Gab.com/MLM. Terms and conditions apply. I don't know if you know this or not, but our laundry room is in our basement. It's down a tight flight of stairs that freaks me out even when I'm not taking down heavy loads of dirty clothes with me. Switching out our heavy, big box store sized plastic tubs and bottles for our EarthBreeze eco-friendly plastic-free envelopes has eliminated not only extra weight heading down those stairs, but also cuts down on our plastic waste. We are a house that recycles, and you'd think that those bottles would be easily recyclable, but 500 million of them end up in landfills and oceans every single year. That alone is an incredible incentive to switch to EarthBreeze laundry sheets. It's an easy way to get amazingly clean clothes without all that plastic waste, delivered right to your door. Get 40% off EarthBreeze when you sign up for auto shipments at earthbreeze.com/MLM. That's earthbreeze.com/MLM.
And like that was the mentality. And I was very, very, very conditioned for that. And I'll say in some ways, that's good. I mean, that's total commitment, right? That's like it, you do kind of find out, like, say when you have a kid, you know, there's no backseas now. I mean, some of us have different viewpoints, but it's very natural for me where I burned that boat. I'm taking care of this kid. You know, I'm going to be a good dad. I'm going to try to be a good husband. I'm going to try to be a good figure here. But that's we lived and died by that. That and, you know, what was called eliminate distractions. And so everything was centered around eliminate distractions and total 100% devoted pursuit, because that's how you win. And while I agree with that's how you win in many cases, but sometimes it's winning at what cost. I think that's kind of like the important thing to really learn, in my opinion, of a lot of this life is, even over the past, say, few years, I've really been trying to condition myself to like what's optimal versus maximum, because I can maximize something, but at the detriment of everything else, personally and in business today. You know, I have to discipline myself to not be so totally focused on something where everything else just burns in my life.
Yeah, that's fantastic advice. The ship thing, I understand it's a little extreme, but absolutely, like you were saying, there are certain instances, like becoming a parent or whatever, it's like, yeah, I'm all in. I'm super committed till death do us part, whatever it's going to be. Like, I get that, but not Amway, not LuLaRoe, not MLM. Like, that's so silly to assign that sort of devotion to a business.
Well, I mean, again, it moves beyond a business as well, too. It's part of the culture. And so there's a lot of, say, higher calling that's quote, built into it. There's a lot of, you know, I've heard the terms, you know, prosperity preaching and things like that. That I still believe in some of this stuff, but I think it's very misappropriately used. Again, I think winning is important, because the other side of it is, I guess, losing, but winning at what? And then, like I said, also at what cost? I'm not going to win at business to lose my family, you know, or whatever you want to apply that to. They would teach quitting is a bad thing, period, end of story. In my life, I believe that sometimes quitting on something is a good thing. The decision to quit Amway was not, in my opinion, a bad choice. That was actually a very
thought through, calculated what is of the best interest of the people that are in my downline at the time, what's in the best interest of our life, what is in the best interest of everything.
I want to go back to something that Tracy mentioned, and they were the lists, which was something that I had in my notes that you had mentioned to me earlier, Matt, was the A list, the B list, and the C list. Can we talk about that, what those are, and who would fall under each of those lists?
Yeah, sure. And you had asked about the process, so if you want us to expand on that too, we can.
Yeah. So if people are listening that have heard like Stefan and Jenna's episode, then you guys know about the process. They took us through that. But for those that are just maybe picking this up because they're friends of yours, or they're like, oh, look, a new Amway episode, and they kind of forget, people jump around. I know you jump around too. So let's just quickly kind of talk about the process, and then let's go into those lists.
To touch on the list first then, so there's three main components of the list. A, B, C. A was immediate family and friends. B was more acquaintances. C was friends you haven't met yet, or how they would perceive us, stranger danger. You know, why are you complimenting me on my shoes? This is weird.
Yeah.
But the way that they would describe it would be like friends you haven't met yet. Somebody that would probably knock on your door would be an acquaintance. Somebody that would let themselves in and drink milk out of the fridge would be A. Your A list, you're probably going to have a tough time with because they're the ones that knew you at your dumbest or at your lowest, and they have those perceptions of you, or they wouldn't take you credibly because of that. Your B list, they don't know you well enough to know all the silly decisions that you make in private because we're all human. And then the C list, there isn't that trust level yet. So B list is where it really happens. And that's where we focused, to where when we had growth at times, it was because we really tapped on and emphasized the B list. But how about this? If we take this part in the process, I'll say the process that was there and that we followed and we did not get great success with, regardless of how much, because it was not a lighthearted devotion. Like this was Lord of the Rings, and I was little Frodo, and she was a part of that little team, and this was the adventure. We lived this.
She's your Samwise Gamgee.
Yep. That's what I was gonna say.
She became that. Yeah. Yeah. The process basically was to take them through a series of steps that was always just kind of very secretive. And it has evolved and changed over time as technology advanced. Amway had tried to do away with their name in North America and call themselves Quickstar as a rebrand. Very quickly, the public had just kind of picked up and found out that Quickstar was, you know, a terrible thing as well. And it was just Amway reinvented. And then they moved back to Amway in 2008 when they were making all those kinds of changes that we were talking about before and trying to focus on retail.
During the recession.
Yes. So, yeah, the process was basically just, you know, call them, give them just enough information to hopefully, you know, get them to be interested, get them to sit down, give them a little bit more information, and get them to what we called an info session or informational meeting. The names always kind of evolved over the years. But basically a big group meeting where there would be a speaker and somebody drawing up on a whiteboard the business model. And then after that, you know, get in.
One thing you didn't touch on that I'm surprised you didn't is, so I thought was kind of weird, but I just kind of let it go because it wasn't my list. But there was people that if you thought that they might be flaky and they created their list, their A, B, C list, they would give the list to the upline and the upline would hold it, because if they got out, then you had a whole nother list, you know, reference, and you just call on them until they called you and they're like, why are you talking to my people?
Yeah, we used, I mean, again, I'm not trying to paint myself in a certain shade or a certain light. This was the stuff that we did. And it was very, looking back on it, I mean, this was just kind of downright mean.
But that's what you're taught, how you have growth.
There's your taught, and then there's you are insinuated. There's a ton of things that are very subtly, like, you know, they very much master the art. This culture masters the art of driving you to a conclusion without actually telling you to do it. Yeah, we definitely had a lot of relative success doing that. So
really, just like collecting the lists of people who flaked out and then just using their lists as like a...
Well, I mean, you know, again, we over time, we continually reinvent how to become more efficient, or again, to the very few of us that were wildly dedicated to this. That's what I did. That's what a few of the people that were my right hand guys and gals did. So eventually we began recreating the system of just how to do things. And that's how we sped up, quote, the process and found the inefficiencies in what was, you know, big publicly taught. We just started chasing the results over time. And actually, like a business, we began really tracking certain metrics on what eventually got people in, if you will. And we just began chasing those results. If we invited you for a sit down, hey, is there anybody else that could be interested or benefit by something like this?
Especially when they would say no.
Yeah, if they'd say, I'm not interested, well, who do you know who might be? And I mean, like, we're very poised to try to get as much of a list out of them as we possibly could. This is a time when cell phones were kind of being reinvented, where you could have like 500 in your phone and, hey, let's just plug in the USB to your phone and into the computer and let's just download that baby. I remember doing that a bunch of time.
Came with Facebook lists.
Yeah, this is when Facebook had just come out and it was only for college students. And so like, hey, you and I have a mutual friend, Tracy. Her and I sat down and talked about business. Now, she really wasn't all that interested, but passed along your name and said you might be. Here we are today, Roberta, talking to you that would you be interested in making extra money on the side? Or some kind of a pitch like that. So, I mean, hey, I was being technically honest. She had given me your name and number, said that she wasn't interested. You could call her and she could say, yeah, I wasn't interested. Or, you know, if she didn't elaborate, then yeah, that was great because we got to try to take you through the process. You know, we usually always try to leave out the names as much as possible. So it's usually very distasteful.
Well, nowadays, MLMs will like have you sign up your information. Like I remember at LuLaRoe, if you wanted to buy something when we had our new sales back office thing, you had to register first. So we had to send this registration link to all of our customers and they filled out all their information, their email, their phone number, their address, their name, everything. Now LuLaRoe owns all of that. I don't have it. If I decide to leave LuLaRoe and open up a boutique somewhere, I have to hope that the people that are in my Facebook group are going to like be cool with it. I didn't ever have that information the way that LuLaRoe had it. So it's really interesting that like back then, before the way that MLMs are run now, it's like, just plug your phone and let's download all this information. Let's just download all your Facebook contacts. Now they don't even shy away from it. They're like, fill out this form. We're going to collect your information. We're going to keep that safe here at HQ.
Well, I mean, I guess that's probably a little bit more normalized in today's society because say you go into, you know, you go into basically anywhere and you get an oil change, you give your information.
Yeah, it doesn't seem out of place at all. I mean, any place you go, now they all have like the loyalty program. So yeah, I mean, it's so commonplace now that you wouldn't even think twice about signing up like that. But the downloading of all the information and just the keeping of the lists is very interesting.
So I mean, again, one foot in front of the other, we just got more and more and more. What I'll today, I'll refer to myself as was just shady. And again, I wish the me now knew the me then because I'd kick my ass all over the place.
We're all here to learn and be better. You're in the right place. We get it. So what is the highest rank that you guys achieved in Amway?
It was Q12. Being forthright about that as well, too, and I found out that it was a lot more common than I knew. We cheated our way into it.
We were basically told, like, hey, it's your turn.
Yeah, we were told, quite frankly, it's your turn. The big inspiration for us to actually, like, where I'd say we really burned the ship behind us, or I did, for not just for commitment of staying in, but for commitment of growth, was to try to keep that relationship of my surrogate family intact as I was basically given another chance and with her. So, fine, we're going platinum, where we're going 7,500 to get married. So that became like the chant between us is we're going to get married, we're going to do it, we're going to do it, quote, the right way. Because again, that was the culture that spoke to us. You couldn't date outside the business because, you know, they don't have a dream. You can't date in the business because you can screw up your downline or your crossline. And, you know, all my upline was twice my age anyway. So.
And I do want to point out, I know we're talking a lot about our relationship and like the relationship piece, but like it was really the start of some of the relational pieces that helped us get out and move, like kind of got the ball rolling. It kind of foreshadows a lot of what's going to happen later on.
This is where we began to really change the process. I'd say there's two phases of changing the process. The second one was post going Q12 and trying to now, there's a few things that I learned that I think I told you before we started recording when going out to that trip and a few things that I learned on the backside where I became, over a period of time, I became extremely disgusted with who I'd become and if we're going to hit the refresh button, if we're not going to be a part of the business system, if we're not going to be a part of our upline and do all this, and we're going to do it ethically. Yeah, there was that. So phase one, we created something called the Sellwell program.
When you're in the business, right, you probably heard this before, though, at least towards after the recession, it was the lady was the one who was in charge of the retail with the couples, and the man was in charge of the recruiting in the couples relationship. Now, it's different for the individual, but that's how it works with couples. I all of a sudden, you know, was taking up this torch of retail, and I had to get really, really good at it. And I did. I got really good at it. Now I had to teach it because they had this fast track program where you could get a lot of money fast. So it was a very big incentivizer for these people that were getting in.
A lot of money is a subjective term.
You sell 50 points, 50 BV worth of product, and you buy 100 and you register 3 people, you get $300, you know, or something like that. I can't remember exactly, but something like that. That was like a lot of money, right? Because I did it. I did the fast track thing. You know, they opened it up to new IBOs, but then older IBOs to do the same thing. And I did it. And everyone was like, whoa, you're a fast tracker. You know, it's a big thing. So I got really good at this retail thing. And then when we came back from this trip, I'm like, there's got to be an easier way to do this because I'm doing all these parties for these people. This is ridiculous. I can't make more of me. I have no more time, and I'm not going to sit and host these people that I don't know in my house. Like, I'm sick of driving, you know, all this stuff. We just bought a house and we were trying to set up our life, and I created the Sellwell program, and it just taught basically people who don't know how to sell, how to sell in like a very classroom structured way with a step-by-step, and here's what you say, here's what you do, here's all of this. But it was outside of the taught literature, tools, principles. It was free post Q12. It was outside of all this thing. And then Matt's like, you know what, if we can do this with the retail, I'm going to do this with the recruiting side too. So he started working on his own stuff to help IBOs figure out, one, how they were going to figure out their paycheck. Remember that big spreadsheet you had? And how to track your hours, how to basically track all your metrics you would need to do anyway, like if you wanted to run an efficient business.
We spent almost a month in our basement drinking excess because we had one of the months, probably a few of the months, that we did not generate enough volume to stay 7,500 to continue Q12. We bought with our own money. Oh, and a small tip too. Our upline Emerald gave us money to purchase product inside of our organization, so that way we could be up and they could stay. We were their third leg for Emerald. So, you know, sneaky business, right? That way they could get their bonuses too.
Forgot about that.
So one of the things was Amway will actually sell you these 12 can cases of energy drink by the pallet.
Yes, I've heard about this.
Yes, and so I don't remember the pricing. Gosh, was it like $1,000 or more for like a pallet of that?
A lot.
I mean, like, I remember it like getting forklift off of like a drop truck or whatever you call it, like under our driveway, and we had to figure out how to get it in our hatch. And I remember like getting a few of them. Like, I remember the first time, like, wow, I really failed this month and we had to do this. I remember doing it like a few times at that point. So,
wow. So you just were hopped up on excess energy drink.
And we painted one of the walls
in our
office with whiteboard paint because we had to draw our team.
So we created this calculator that I began over the course of a few years finding out what the averages were for everything. So like, okay, how many calls for somebody to answer? How many answers to, you know, how many would sit down with you? How many sit down with you to how many sign up? How many sign up to how many actually engage? How many actually engage to how many, you know, make it to 300 PV, to 1,000 PV? Over the course of a few years, I mean, like, I was tracking this stuff. And I created a calculator out of Excel with all the formulas and making it for these people that were running through our curriculum where they make a phone call, they click a button on this calculator, and it would kind of, like, get you, you could see the difference of that one phone call getting you a little bit closer to your goal, if you will.
You're doing like real business stuff in a pyramid scheme.
Which I did not know that at the time.
We're going to legitimize this.
Well, that stuff that's come to help us in our actual real businesses today. The real businesses today, the hardest thing about all of them has actually been to unlearn everything that we learned in multi-level, because they call you a business owner and you're not. You're not tax-wise. You're not anything but a really a salesman at best.
Well, I have a question, because you mentioned that you guys bought a house.
I bought a house.
She did.
Okay. Well, what I've heard about being an IBO and making big purchases is that you have to talk to your upline about it. So did you talk to your upline about it? And did you get pushback on buying this house?
This is one of those rules I felt like didn't apply to me.
I love you, Tracy.
I buy this house, and I had had the money to buy the house. I had been working a really good job, but I'd spent most of this money on going $7,500. So I ended up having to borrow this money, this down payment money, like half of it from my parents. And I was kind of frustrated after that, because then they're like, look at this, you can have the dream like Matt and Tracy. And they were saying that like the house was purchased with the money that we got from going to Q12. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. Not at all. And everyone's like, wow, I can't be, because I remember IBOs coming up and being like, I just can't wait to be like you and buy my own house. And I'm like, yep.
Most everybody at that time was probably around the age of like 23. So probably the average age of people that got into at least my business over time, and I'd say my upline Emeralds as well too, was probably 19, 20.
Wow. So one of the other things that you mentioned was going Q12, you get this trip. And so you guys went on this Q12 trip. Where was this trip? How much of this trip was actually paid for by Amway? How much of it was paid for by you? Let's talk about this trip.
Well, you get a trip for going platinum.
Okay.
We went on the Q12 trip first.
We didn't go on the platinum trip because we weren't married.
Yeah, we didn't go because we're married, but then they invited us the next year. And by that time, we were like, I don't even want to be a part of this anymore. I don't have that. We denied the trip that was paid for us to go on.
And your question, the trip that we did go on, everything that Amway sponsored was actually paid for by Amway, including the flights. And we ended up going to Washington, D.C., which is where that trip was. And it was, honestly, to give Amway credit, though, it was a really cool trip. And I wish that we had spent more time in the actual party of Amway rather than with our uplines. Like if I were to go back and be like, stop spending time with them, you're wasting all, like, this is really cool. You're wasting all your time here. Go visit these museums.
I was told I would be blackballed if I didn't keep hanging out with our upline Diamond.
And the whole time, you know, they would sit and they just whine about other high pins and they weren't really like giving us any information. I remember Matt and I were just like, seriously, what are we doing here? Like, it really wasn't worth it.
That was more of the logical beginning of the end. And then the relational beginning of the end happened after. To answer your question, it was actually pretty awesome. They rented out a museum and had like a banquet there. And then they rented out to George Washington's house and property in Washington, D.C. Cool. Yeah, we went to Washington, D.C. We got to tour, and in the greenhouse, they had a cover band singing oldies songs, a lot of fancy food and stuff like that. And
we were encouraged to skip a lot of the Amway stuff to go hang out with our upline, though. So we missed a lot of the cool things that
the experiences
of going to that we earned, because we had to go sit and, in my opinion, listen to our upline's whine.
I feel like we're almost beginning to put Amway in a positive light and letting that take a backseat to the badness of, say, the organization. My opinion now today is that Amway still allowed that to happen. You can try to pretend you turn a blind eye to what your organization does, where no, I mean, you can still run things legitimately. There is no way that you cannot know the impact that you have on society, how these people's lives are turning out. Been around for too long. There's, I don't know, too many side effects. Fun fact, your guest that you had on there last time, Diane, hearing her story was actually neat, and being able to hear it from her perspective, because what I was told was radically different.
Yeah, me too. Totally different than what actually.
The story with her was, they said that she was sleeping with the mailman. That was like her high school romance or something like that. That was how it was told to us.
Like, that's where Diane went. That's why she wasn't around anymore, because she had an affair with the mailman.
Yep. Yeah.
Yes.
Diane, are you listening to this?
is absurd.
Wow. Wow.
So I remember hearing that, and I remember, like, to me that sounded like a bit of a stretch of a story to, like, oh, the mailman, huh? Just okay. So anyway.
He has a better 401k plan. Wow.
Okay, so we finished this trip, and I think you're right. I think that was really the beginning of the end.
What were some of these, like, revelations that you learned on this trip by hanging out with your upline? Like, what were some of the secrets that you got to learn that you were like, oh, wait, what is happening?
Well, like I'd shared before, well, our upline Diamond was not shy about his dissatisfaction for everything. I mean, it was very clear that he was discontent with basically his life choices as well. And that, you know, he didn't want anything to do with Amway. He was really discontented with Amway. He was getting still big checks and he was still a Diamond and all that. And that's basically what was holding him in there. It was shared with us that, again, all these other organizations that were being touted across Amway North America as growing. I remember there was an organization, the gentleman by the name of John and Jenny Bell Crow, that was very big. And he had a daughter that had grown up and they called these things like second gen IBOs. I remember through the years where it was like they went from zero to like Diamond in 2 years, which you never heard of that. And then they went from Diamond to, you know, triple Diamond in like in another 2 years. How about this? One of the things that really was a revelation to us is that eventually, again, I was in Amway for a very long time. I went from dead end entry level jobs to over time, highly competitive, highly sales jobs. I was number one in my company, for example. And basically everybody on our team was like number one. The people that were, again, our little Lord of the Rings friends, fully devoted, they became good at sales. They became good at things. And there, you remember the two Vikings football players?
Yep.
There were two guys that were in the NFL and on the team. They couldn't figure out how to make the needle work. I couldn't figure out how to make the needle work. Other people in our team, we had smart, intelligent, young people, young and mid-20s at this time, that could not make it work. And again, over time, you eventually just like, you notice some commonalities. In my opinion, you don't make it to the NFL by being an absolute moron. You figured out a few things and you're not just athletic at that point.
And then this random person just swoops in and becomes Diamond and triple Diamond with very little effort in a very short amount of time. And you're like, this is not my experience. How is this happening?
Not just that one. There are all kinds of them like that, but this is the one that I'm pointing out. And they had gone even well beyond that, where they're almost like making up new names for them. Well, John and Jenny Bell Crow were basically gifting their platinum legs to their daughter. I don't remember her name and his name. And then there was all these buyouts where you can buy other people's organizations and stuff like that. You could sell your downline. That's where I'd really learned the difference between your line of sponsorship in your line of affiliation, which was two different things. So that was where, like, business wise, and I was sharing where like I lost that sense of unity that was really so much, again, like a family that kind of held me so tight. And then seeing just a lot of the behind the scenes lies that went all the way up the organization. There was no hope for anybody all the way to the top to be unified with fully. And then when we got back, this is why I brought up my initial girlfriend that it went sideways with. Is we were continuing to go forward. Tracy was teaching people how to do this sell well. I had kind of evolved, like our upline, you know, you're supposed to do everything exactly the way they teach you, right? Well, over time and making these metric measurements and me just kind of following it, I guess, I began to have lots of success where we were sponsoring people daily in width and daily in depth and across other states that we'd never met because, again, we weren't doing it the way that they taught us. We basically, all this is coming back to me now as we're just like doing this. Amazon was really starting to move from books to product and everything based. And say, I would call you up, Roberta. Hey, Roberta, you and I don't exactly know each other just yet, but this, you know, Tracy gave me your name and number. Said she wasn't interested. That's fine. But hey, here we are. You got a couple minutes. Can we just talk? She said you're a smart person and, you know, I'm looking to expand my business. Can you talk to me for a second?
Sure. Yeah.
All right. Great. So I'm going to lay it out here for you. This is the concept. You heard of Amazon.com, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love it. I get all my books there.
So basically you put in your login ID and a password. This is what attributes the sales to you. And we're getting more people to buy from this source. And again, I got to the point where I'm done with the secrets, done with the hoodwinking and shadiness. Hey, there's a buy-in fee. It's approximately $300. You know, you can swing that. Great. If you can't, there's a couple month policy where you can have it returned. As you and I continue to get to know each other, if you really cannot swing that, I am desperately seeking good people to work with. So if that's you and you want to keep talking, let's go. I mean, it was pretty close to that, right?
Yeah,
I mean, that was
pretty
almost
close.
Again, I'm 15 years rusty on this, but I mean, it was just wildly forthright, probably very sloppy, but I mean, we were able to cut through a lot of the crap. mean, we weren't trying to just sell people into it. I was able to obtain lists from so many people so fast. And then just being so honest about what we were trying to do instead of, again, all the hoodwink games. A lot of times by the end of the phone call, which would be a couple minutes at that point, here, let me take you on the website. Here's my credentials. You plug those in right here. Boom. You know, punch in your credentials. There's your fee right there. Boom. And okay, so here's all the stuff that you can buy. Obviously, do the search and everything like that. Your next step is create a list, blah, 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 blah. People that aren't interested, they can still be a customer of yours. They can still buy this. You know, hey, it's a little bit over. It's a little bit more than what you're going to find at the department store. So I'm telling you that now. But you get a warranty with it, and Glister tastes great.
Oh, sheet.
Honey, chill. It's just laundry.
Not that. I'm talking about these Arm & Hammer power sheets. All the power of Arm & Hammer laundry detergent in a convenient tossable sheet.
Oh, sheet.
That's what I'm saying.
And Arm & Hammer power sheets deliver an effective clean at a great price. Think of all the laundry we'll do.
And all the money we'll save. Oh, sheet.
Arm & Hammer, more power to you.
Your data is like gold to hackers. They're selling your passwords, bank details, and private messages. McAfee helps stop them. Secure VPN keeps your online activity private. AI-powered text scam detector spots phishing attempts instantly. And with award-winning antivirus, you get top-tier hacker protection. Plus, you'll get up to $2 million in identity theft coverage, all for just $39.99 for your first year. Visit McAfee.com. Cancel anytime. Terms apply.
We created a curriculum and a class to where I would kind of fly with the recruiting, and she would take the people and help them learn how to sell right off the bat. And the aim was to just, again, a little less hoodwinky and a lot more efficient. And it was a lot easier on my conscience because, again, these practices that I'm talking about, like, that's just how you lived your life. And that's how you did like everything. It was like talking to anybody about anything. You were just like trying to talk to mom about something. You were trying to hoodwink mom if it had nothing to do with sales or anything. I don't know. I can't think of a good
example. At least they thought you were. Like everybody in my family just always thought I was talking to them about something totally unrelated, and they always thought I was trying to sell me. I'm like, so annoying.
Well, just the way that we ended up talking about anything in life was just like a sales pitch. It was just stupid.
Right. I mean, that's what happens, right? Even the longer you're in an MLM, your language becomes more salesy. You find ways to bring it up every single time because you're like, oh, I want to talk about this. I want to make it normalized. I want to introduce it to my friends. And I mean, I had friends that sold MLM even after I left. And I was just like, enough with the MLM. Come on. Like, we don't need to keep talking about this and keep bringing it up in really, really weird random times.
So the straw that broke the camel's back was our Upline Emeralds business was moving backwards. Now, we did not re-qualify Q12. Again, a lot of that was bought and over. We were realistically about, we're all broke. But like, we're realistically hanging on almost half that, about 4,000 is like where we'd sustainably hang out at without a wild push or anybody sacrificing their liver. And so my upline was actually very resentful about that. But now I had planned on re-qualifying in a sustainable way, you know, not the way we did it. Again, the way we did it before, and so many sold-out people on our team. If we were short, everybody would buy. Everybody would buy over, and not just like a little bit. I mean, we had people dump thousands. We dumped thousands at one shot. But anyway, so sustainable meaning like through these methods that we were just talking about, where it was, again, just meant to be sustainable from the entry-level person. We were getting a lot of traction with that and a lot of momentum, and we were getting a lot of attention for it as well, too, while our upline Emeralds were continuing to fall backwards. One of the things that they had done was they had reached back out to this girl that was Tracy's upline all the way up to, this girl's my ex-fiance that had found out about that. They had reached out to her to bring her back into the organization.
We are recently married.
We had just gotten married. That's right. Side note, everybody except my dad, who was my best man, was a part of Amway. All of my groomsmen, all of her bridesmaids, everybody Amway, 100%.
Total Amway wedding.
It's very cringy thinking about it.
Excess in a champagne fountain.
We didn't do that, but we might as well have.
Like, we got a pallet in the garage to get rid of. Let's do this.
There's a lot of twisty things in here because you're told you're doing good for society. And under the guise of this was like a religious pursuit, you're pursuing God's calling on your life. And that's how it was promoted to me. So they reached out to her, which quite frankly, I actually really didn't have like a crazy problem with at that point. Geez, what, that was 7-8 years ago. Time does heal all wounds. It didn't hurt so bad. It wasn't so fresh, but it did make her uncomfortable. And she was very polite and very professional about it. What they used to teach at that time was guys bring their problems to their upline guys. Girls bring their problems to their upline girls.
Or bring it to your spouse and they'll bring it to their upline.
No, you brought it up to Jenny and Jenny publicly humiliated you for it. She brought that back to Mitch.
Oh, that's right.
And then they publicly humiliated. So what had happened was they reached back out to her. Tracy, again, was uncomfortable. Like, she didn't say she was uncomfortable, but I was able to find that over the, you know, this took a little time, but I was able to find that and pull it out of her that she was really uncomfortable with it. And what we did on our own accord is I reached out to Teresa, was her name, and talking this through with Tracy, we invited her to come out and sit down and address the elephant in the room.
Oh my God.
Which was, hey, we never talked after this explosion now 7-8 years ago. Teresa, here's my new wife, Tracy. Tracy, why don't you meet your upline or former old upline, Teresa? As horrific and cringy as that sounds.
Slash downline.
Well, no, downline now. No. Downline now, you're upline. She agreed. She came out. And actually, this gal, Teresa, missed the camaraderie. You know, she missed because she became indoctrinated too. She was in it for 3 years along with me. You know, it was, you know, when that happened outside of the bar, all of her friends kind of went away as well too. I think she wanted back in for those reasons, just missing the camaraderie, and she had been indoctrinated with that stuff where she believed that she had left God's calling on her life and kind of wanted to go back to it. And so we had a productive conversation at Arby's there and said, well, can we all just go back, talk about it, make sure this is the right thing for everybody, you know, because kind of a different variable here that nobody's experienced with. Tracy was okay with it. Go ahead.
No, I wasn't okay with it. I'm like, gosh, I said, you know what? I'm okay if she's a part of the organization, but can she attend a meeting? We're trying to work on this brand new marriage. Like, we're trying to put a life together. And here's this person who has hurt my new husband so badly. And I told him I'm really not comfortable with it. At the next team call, our upline actually was there. Do you remember that? And he told you to grow a pair.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
And then should grow a pair because, you know, I call her to be a customer. Why can't I just let her be a part of the organization? That's how I remember it.
And well, I think you're a lot more graceful than you were painting yourself out to be. I mean, basically, I gave the decision to you and trying to confirm with you if you would be, you know, allowing of her to come back, because that was where I was going to stand, was if you're fine with it, I'm fine with it. And yes, we'll probably put in some extra things like she doesn't work directly with me, she works with them, or if you... just whatever the scenarios were, it just wasn't
right,
that
she came to a meeting.
Yeah. And that's how she came to a meeting, in that we didn't tell my upline that we had gone and taken her out to Arby's there and gone over everything. And they pulled me aside after the next meeting. And that's where, yeah, he told me to grow a pair. And I forgot all about that, but it was basically very much shame on your wife, shame on Tracy. That was the kind of a big infraction in our relationship, where after that, there began to be a lot of games being played. And I wish I could be more specific on it right now. I just have to be able to recall them. But it was just kind of like trust broken after trust broken after trust broken after trust broken.
I remember being in the bathroom and I was like crying because I did not want this girl here. I let her come to a meeting and I'm like, I'll see how it goes. Because if I'm going to be uncomfortable, this is our organization, this is our life, I need to be okay with it. She's there and I'm just like thinking about all the ways she hurt my husband, and I don't know her. That's the only thing I know about her, is that she's hurt him, you know, other than when I'm not looking to get to know her. I'm here and I'm crying in the bathroom and I'm trying to like hold it back because, you know, I got to be strong for my group. And then I, you know, I step out and I'm like, yeah, I'm really not comfortable with this. So he went and had and did tell him like, hey, can she go to a different
Yeah.
Info
can
session.
She, yeah, can she go to... Different. No, not a different info session. Even that, it was the team call. You didn't want her to be coming over to our house because that's where we had all the... Where we did that. You know, why can't she just go to Mitch and Jennings, to theirs?
And I wanted to... No, I wanted her to go to a different meeting too. I can't remember. Maybe I think so. And yeah, so then the thing that I remember is that the next... So I had all these friends, right? Because I was being... I was like... We were super cool, right? Because we were some of the top dogs in that meeting. And so then the next week we get there and nobody will say hi to me. They all walk away. Nobody will sit by me. They're all just, they want nothing to do with me. And I'm like, Matt, something is going on. And that's what beginning of when we start like realizing, like we knew that there was an infraction in the relationship, but we didn't realize it was now they were gossiping and telling all these lies about us.
This is probably even like 90 days after accomplishing 7,500 points for a solid year straight.
Being promoted for a year straight.
Yeah. Yeah. And then that. So there was kind of a series of events that happened very quickly. They were insinuating things that caused people to really depart from her because she was being touted as the problem. Well, then by default, you know, I'm married to her. So that created a complication as well because they were trying not to talk as bad about me.
Because they've been promoting him for the last year.
Gosh, what was it? So by that time, I had started a traditional business. That was the last thing I did. I was in management for another company. I'd got let go from that company. And I had just, at that point, I had decided if I was going to make anything money in any other way outside of Amway, it's just going to be by some kind of business ownership. And so I had grown that to a point to where I didn't even need my Amway business anymore. And there was a natural, like, without all the leverage and with the kind of the decay of that relationship, I wasn't bound by that so much. And so either that's when it became really obvious to me that all these games were being played because I just didn't have any of that leverage over me anymore. I don't know. But the whole thing was this, that gal, Teresa, coming back, made a big explosion out of everything. And we decided that we did not want to be a part of, our local upline wannabe Emeralds organization anymore. Upon further really, we had decided at Q12 that we were not really big fans of LTD or the bigger, you know, group like that anymore. And then researching other ones, it didn't sit well with us either. We began creating our own. That's what she was beginning to talk about, that whiteboard where we had built a system from the top down. We were going to run with our own system, but I had, in traditional business, I had learned by that point so much to where I'm like, it's so much easier, say, to make a dollar in actual business than it is in this, to where there was just no point. I didn't agree with it business-wise, ideology, I didn't agree with it, and, you know, spiritually, I didn't agree with it either.
We really tried to rectify things. We're like, well, you know, because we were doing it more for the sake of the people that we had already sponsored that were kind of tied into both of us. We were trying to play nice because there was all these people that, you know, are under us that we had these relationships with, and they're confused because they don't understand what's going on, and we don't want to share it with them because they need to be kept in the dark. And they're here, but they're also hearing lies from our upline. So we're trying to protect them, but at the same time, they're kind of like torn between the two.
They had recently done something similar to another person who went Q12 in their organization next to me, and they had began kind of playing those games with them as well too, to kind of make them lose all the credibility. And I remember that dwindled their organization down to nothing, where they had no influence or anything like that. And I saw that trend beginning to happen to us. And again, I wasn't leveraged anymore, and I couldn't, you know, be controlled by that anymore. And so that was where we decided to leave that organization. While we still had any influence at all whatsoever, we decided that it's inevitable. We don't want to continue this. There's nothing to hold us. And then if there is going to be any impact of us leaving, it's while we still fresh off of Q12 being promoted for actually about 2 years and then now just leaving.
Did you want to touch on that last conversation that we had with them?
He was redacting a lot of his statements about, like, yeah, telling me to grow up hair and that she needs to grow up hair. Not a sorry, because sorry, like, you don't apologize to your downline. Jenny was really pressing on Tracy.
She's like, I was in your wedding.
Yeah. Jenny was offended that Tracy had basically emotionally withdrawn from everything. When we had basically what I call our exit interview, you know, that was Jenny's big thing that she kept going back to. But Tracy, I was in your wedding. How can you do this to me?
I just like the how can you do this to me? I was told the same thing by my upline as I was leaving. How can you do this to me?
It told me you're walking out on God's plan for your life.
Faith manipulation. What?
But the biggest thing is, and it probably happened for you too, Roberta, was like there was probably times that you can reflect back on. You're like, man, that's where I had that little heart change that like where now I believe I was not a Christian then. And I rejected the faith for a very long time being, in my opinion, misappropriately introduced to it. Because growing up, I thought any belief in any type of creation was just crutch for people who couldn't handle the stresses of life is what I thought. But I guess now being a little bit older, I don't have to meet the watchmaker to think, oh, yeah, there was a watchmaker. You know, it's kind of my first grader thinking on that. But anyway, I just at that point, I wasn't leveraged by anything because I was actually reading my Bible and seeing like a big difference between prosperity preaching and biblical, like what Scripture actually had to say on matters. So I wasn't just naturally duped anymore. I didn't have the father figure influence that could really pull on me like that anymore. And it was just a series of steps that didn't allow me to be pulled any which way.
And just sort of led to the disillusion of what you thought this was and what it really actually is.
Yeah. Yeah. So from every aspect, traditional business pointed out the difference between what MLM is and what actual, you know, business is, and reading a Bible and not going to a prosperity preaching specific mega center church type of a deal.
And probably even the relationships, the way that people acted when you decided to do what was best for you versus like a family member who would be like, yeah, do what's best for you. We love you. Versus like, how could you do this to me?
I wouldn't know because, again, I was approached so young, and then I shared at the beginning of our conversation where, like, from the get-go, I really didn't have a typical upbringing, typical family life experience, so I really can't speak to that. So I don't know. Even today, I'd say my experience of life is almost like, you know, sports, Amway, and now traditional business, and so, like, I'm very one-sided in my understanding of relationships and how life works.
And I think from the other perspective, and something that you don't think about, and just I'm the type of person, at least, that if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to, you know, just kind of do it. So let's do this. And if someone's choosing an MLM and then they don't think about, okay, you can't just try an MLM. It doesn't work that way. The hardest part for me is I felt like that. Did you say you have kids?
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with Bluey?
Bluey? Yes. My nephews and my niece love Bluey. We missed it with Abby, but we got it with the niece and the nephews.
Fair enough. Well, there's a Bluey episode where they play like brand new or something like this. And then the dad is like playing, like pretending it's his first day of life or whatever. And he doesn't know what the sun is or a stool is. And I felt like that's how I was getting out of Amway. I'm like, how do I act in this relationship? How am I supposed to act here? And I feel like it really has played a kind of a vital role into just reentering normalcy that I wasn't expecting, you know, getting in.
And
so
you were only in it for 5 years.
And I was only in it for 5 years. He was in it for 12. So he's never going to be normal. But
he's like, oh, gee, thanks, babe.
Yeah. And because I met my husband in the business and they were like, no, we don't support you with that. We will buy from you, but we really don't think this is good for you. It really caused, in my opinion, there was a lot of trust issues because, you know, Matt was the one bringing me along for the ride with this Amway thing. And I was so sucked in that my parents felt like they couldn't even like reach me after we got out. I know it was a breath of fresh air, but it still was hard.
When you're entrenched that deep, everything about your life is kind of domino affected by it. My choice in marriage was based on MLM. All my relationships and where I spent my time, how I did holidays, everything like that was all centered around MLM. I chose not to go to college, not to go to trade school, to not even technically finish high school, although I did get my diploma on time. I really didn't do it, was based on MLM. My choices to not pursue a normal career was all based upon MLM. My choice in, I'd say I was somewhat of a blank slate. My beliefs in religion or, you know, spirituality, whatever you want to call it, was all based upon MLM. And that's not, I've come to find that that's not entirely uncommon. I mean, we were taught eliminate distractions, burn the ships behind you, don't count the price of success, all these taglines, you know, which in business, I do count the price of success every day. 5 and 6 nights a week, flip the switch. Remember that? What were the taglines?
Drive the miles. Yeah. Serve your downline.
Driving the miles.
Even probably for the next 8 years after he got out of Amway, he was interviewing people for the shop, and I would listen in on these interviews. I'm like, quit Amwaying the guy.
I had an improperly placed sense of confidence in how to run a business. And again, that was the hardest part of getting into business, having to unlearn and learn the right way and just kind of untangle all of those thoughts. Again, you think you know this stuff, but you don't. I mean, getting out of Amway, we had tax problems because we were told, hey, all this stuff is tax deductible. No, it's not. That's another story. But then even getting into business, traditional business, we continued to have crazy tax problems because we didn't know about any of that stuff. I just thought, go on faith, as is what we're always told for everything. Go on faith. Don't count the price of success. Winners find a way. Everybody else makes excuses. God can't steer a parked car. It was all these things. And like, I lived by that. And I created a lot of problems in my life doing that for, you know, the first umpteen years of business. I just, without realizing it, I would find people that I would never hire. I just recruited everybody. It didn't matter. You know, I'd recruit you into a role that you weren't cut out for or have experience in. And sure, come on in, I'll train you, even though I don't know what I'm doing either. Just every part of it, recruiting, sales, management, administrative, operations, you know, it's not a real business.
I would go, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Matt, but I would go as far as to say is, like, I finally feel like we're nearing the end of the mess that all made, both emotionally, mentally, financially, even with some of the mess of the tech stuff and just how that trained us. Do you think that's true?
No.
You think we're still going through it?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Tunnel vision. You know, you have a strength in being able to just focus on one thing, but it's carried out too far. You do have to be able to step back, have a little margin in your life, not just your finances, but your time. It's optimizing versus maximizing. And our default oftentimes still kicks back into, you know, trying to maximize things all the time. And that is very much an Amway thing, in my opinion, or an MLM.
Even from a relational standpoint, I mean, when we first got out of the business, I'm like, we had this trauma to relate on, right? We had this trauma that we were able to connect on. But then after that kind of the initial blow of that kind of dissipated, we're like, what do we do together?
There's probably a reason why most couples divorce within or shortly after getting out, because outside of trauma bonding, if you're entrenched in it that deep, at least in our case, from my opinion, and I hope this sounds still okay to you, Tracy, but I mean, to a degree, you have to find out, like, okay, what of each other now?
Yeah.
That was what you have to relate on.
It's a journey out. And the longer you're in, the longer the journey out will take. And there's a lot of unpacking, right? Like you're saying, unlearning and relearning things, learning about each other outside of the business, who you are outside of the business, just how things are, how to interact with people. The whole thing. This is not uncommon. So many people talk about this like feeling of like having to get out of the MLM slowly, the same way that they got sucked into it. And I'm happy that you guys are here. Maybe this conversation that we had will take care of some of that mental, those feelings like, why did we do this? Just talking about your story and having your story help others is a really great way to heal out of this, even though you have been out for so long. Sometimes those wounds, you have conversations like this and you're like you were saying, like, oh my gosh, I haven't thought about this in a long time. I mean, you guys did things that sucked and were shady the same way I did, the same way most of the people listening did. It's what happens. And I don't want you guys to fault yourself. You went in with open minds and you were corrupted by a pyramid scheme, like most of us were. And, you know, that's what we do here, right? We end that stigma of shame. Like, it's not your fault. Everybody gets fucked in an MLM, unfortunately, you know, except for like maybe the 1% who are like, ha, 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 they thought they could scam us, but we scammed them better. You know, it's just part of it. So I want to say thank you so much for sharing your story and all the juicy tea. I think this was a very juicy tea episode. And thank you so much, Matt, for being so vulnerable and being like, I can't believe I'm telling you this, but here we go. It helps. I know there are men out there who struggled the same way that you struggled and had the same kind of issues. And I think it's so important when men come on the show, even though it's mostly women, we have mostly women come on the show. Every time I have a man come on the show and express this kind of vulnerability like you did, it really helps. You know, we already know about the loneliness epidemic of men and the mental health issues that they face that they don't like to talk about. So I want to commend you again for being so open and sharing all of your dating drama. You seem to be doing great now. So I'm not too worried about you anymore. You seem to have a really great lady who supports you and gets it and understands you. And you guys are just really great together. So thank you so much.
Thank you. We've been married for 12 years now and been together for 16.
That's great. Would you guys like to do some rapid fire questions with me as we wrap this up?
Absolutely.
Let's do it.
Okay. So I would like to know, Matt and Tracy, give me one word that encompasses how you feel about multi-level marketing.
Shady.
Leeching.
Ooh, leeching. Give me a piece of advice to somebody who's listening to this who maybe has a board plan coming up that they shouldn't go to. What would you tell them to do?
Numbers don't lie. Do your due diligence, no matter what it is. If it's an MLM, a business venture of any kind, math does not lie.
Run. No, seriously, run. There's no easy money.
No, there's no easy money. Give me the worst MLM in your opinion.
I honestly only have experience with Amway, and I do not believe in the MLM approach to business. As we haven't talked about on this episode, but I mean, I've been in traditional business now for 14 years, and I haven't slowed down intensity of research and learning and questions that you're asking us even right now. Those are things that I've researched very much in depth. Yeah, I do not think that it is a healthy industry in society, period. And there isn't a way to make it healthy. And I don't say that because I had a negative experience with people in it.
Yeah, I don't know enough about the rest of them, but I agree. Having run traditional business, just it's not healthy. It gives you a very skewed perspective on life.
Give me the hardest lesson you learned in Amway.
In a real business, there is real transactional value. They're not your friend. Don't confuse that. It doesn't mean that other people you do business with are bad or evil, but the intent and the purpose of business relationships is to do an exchange of business. If you are selling a friendship, selling yourself, if you are the commodity, your relationship is the medium of exchange, because you can't figure out what you're making because the compensation plan is so wonky or whatever. It's nah.
They would always talk about putting off dreams or goals, delayed gratification. And while there is a place and a time for that, I feel like much of life gets missed. I'm really glad we didn't have children in Amway, because we would have missed their youth and we would never have been able to get it back.
Finally, the positive takeaway that you maybe still use to this day, if there is one.
I think for me, it was learning how to listen and like engage other people, like get other people talking. So just that was the one positive. I, you know, knew what questions to ask other people to get them talking about themselves rather than just me having to talk.
Is there anything for you, Matt, that's positive?
You know what? There was a book, and it was that was promoted within Amway, and it was actually, I remember that was one of the pieces that really gave me the courage to leave. It was called How to Stop Worrying and Start Living. And it was a Dale Carnegie book. Everybody knows his primary book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. This one I had bought when I first joined, didn't understand a dang thing in it at 16. And then when I read it again, just prior to the departure, it had talked about how people are so concerned about themselves that it doesn't matter about you. It doesn't matter what you're going through. The people are more interested in the pimple on their face than a volcano erupting and killing millions of children in China. They think more about that pimple. And so with that reality in life, like there, for me, at least, there's a lot more you can make a lot more choices and, I guess, forgive yourself faster and not think about what other people think about you so much more, because I still live in the community that I terrorized for over a decade, starting within my school, because I prospected all of my teachers, the principal, classmates. Again, if I got a list out of you, or if I knew you knew somebody, you bet I'm calling in the name of you. If I wouldn't have figured out that fact, I'd probably still today think that they think about me in that multi-level light, where I've now owned a few traditional businesses within the same community where I haven't heard anything about me in multi-level and Amway for
a long time.
Well, I mean,
over a decade, for sure.
Probably since 2015, 2016, I think was the last time somebody said to me, like, hey, you still doing that pyramid thing? Or you remember when you were in that? Like, they just... I haven't got that, and I still see people that I grew up with all the time living and working in the same area.
Well, I just want to say thank you again. You guys were such a joy. Thanks for the tea and the goss, the hot goss, and for helping. You know, there's somebody listening right now who was like, Matt and Tracy's episode was the episode that really helped me see it. So I just want to say thank you for being a part of the show and for sharing your story and being here with me. We really, really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
Yep. Thanks, Roberta.
Thank you so much for listening to Life After MLM. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share. And follow us on social media at Life After MLM Podcast or visit our website at lifeaftermlmpod.com. And don't forget to check out our Patreon for exclusive content and join the community on Discord. You can find all of the links to follow in our show notes. Life After MLM is produced by Roberta Blevins. Audio editing is done by the lovely Kayla Craven. Video editing by the indescribable RK Gold. And Michelle Carpenter is our triple emerald princess of robots. If you have a story about a cult, fraud, scam, or MLM and want to be on the show, please hit us up. We would love to help you tell your story and start your healing journey in life after MLM. See you next time, Hunts.